Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board meeting for September 26, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean. Director Mann.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on the Sheriff's Department for helping with that.
Okay. I think we need the gentleman's name for the record.
Is
Sean Maldonado, and I'm Oceano resident.
Thank you.
I'd like to give a public comment for a minute.
Okay.
What's his last name,
Maldonado? Yes. Mm-hmm. Bill Bookout, Oceano Nursery. I live here in Oceano. Since filing a lawsuit in early 2006, I have completed two mediations with no solution to stop the flooding of my business, State Highway 1, and Oceano community. None of the parties responsible have taken any responsibility. I come to you today having done a considerable amount of discovery in August, September 2007 of the cause and effects of flooding of my business, Highway 1, 13th, and Paso Robles Street, Oceano. I am presenting to the Oceano Community Service District several documents I have found at the County Department of Public Health, California Regional Water Quality Control Board, as I feel this is my responsibility to come forward with the contents of these documents after having been denied several of my public records requests, and the fact that the Regional Water Quality Control Board could not verify or dispute questions asked of them. I feel the effects, the safety of our community water as it travels to the ocean, and I see these effects with what's going into our ocean. Our ocean has a lot of problems, and we're looking for contamination going in there. I think I found one of the causes. The cause of the flooding of State Highway 1, my property, my business, and the community is directly connected with how the State of California, County of San Luis Obispo, Oceano Community Service District, Union Pacific Railroad, and the Pismo Oceano Vegetable Exchange have diverted the historic community's drainage. There's a letter in here, and I'm going to refer to it, and it's from the Oceano Community Service District, dated April 21st, 1983. I don't know how this began, but that might be the beginning. The diversion into a small sinking pond, holding pond, percolation pond is not acceptable, especially given the contents of a March 27, 1985 written letter from the County of San Luis Obispo Department of Public Health. The chemical pesticide analysis of an application to the Regional Water Quality Control Board for waste discharge concentrated amounts of toxic pesticide, we will require a written approval by the County Health Department on the site retention basin. I have been unable to find this written approval and ask the community's help. This is a point where the community hopefully can get involved and see that this is corrected and that the information is properly found out. The water from this retention basin, percolation pond, sinking pond, or whatever it is undersized and was not designed to allow the State of California, County of San Luis Obispo, Oceano Community Service District, Union Pacific Railroad drainage to mix with it prior to overflowing with the Pismo Oceano Vegetable Exchange vegetable wash, waste water, and sludge from their cooling plant to travel to the ocean and then emptying into the Pacific Ocean. I'm asking the public and the community of Oceano and the five cities to take action and see that this water is safe for our community and ocean. Across the street from my nursery, Oceano Nursery, is a drainage channel. That drainage channel goes to a pipe. That pipe goes underneath the Pismo Oceano Vegetable Exchange. Historically, that water would run through the what was once owned by the railroad through their property into the drainage channel. Now it's diverted 2 feet uphill going into a retention pond, a percolation pond, is from what the notes say. That water should not be gone uphill. In this letter, in these letters, you're going to find stuff that talks about contamination coming out of possibly the produce shed. That needs to be paid attention to. If that's going into our lagoon, when we have a storm and it overflows and goes into our ocean, we already have enough problems with the ocean. We don't need to go past and create more problems on our own. And this is something that we can correct ourselves, and we can make a better environment starting here in Oceano. On that issue, thank you. 2 meetings ago, I presented some documents to the directors. Those documents are kind of a little controversial, but you do realize that the OCSD's attorney, Phillips and Associates, actions when they hired Robert Weeks, who was going out with my bookkeeper, Robert Weeks was a primary attorney for OCSD, is a conflict of interest. I do not approve of Robert Weeks, Phillips and Associates' actions. I don't feel that my personal records should be in the hands of Robert Weeks, Phillips and Associates. There's discovery for records. That's not the proper way to discover stuff. The bookkeeper.
Member items for discussion? Vern?
I have nothing at this time.
Barbara?
I don't think I have anything to say right now.
Me either?
No. Okay.
Item 5, review and approval of the minutes from September 12th, 2007. I think there's probably one correction that was noted on this, is that that was a regular meeting, was it not?
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, I'll correct that. Also, Director Dahl pointed out 2 errors on page 4. Under C, where it says Director Dahl recused himself on this item, I'm going to add and left the room. And down in the fourth paragraph after that sentence, it says Directors Dean, Mann, and Dahl all expressed appreciation. Well, he was out of the room, so he didn't. That's inaccurate, so I'll take his name off of there.
Thank you.
I move we accept the minutes as corrected.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as corrected.
Abstain.
Are there any public comments on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 3-0 with 1 abstention and 1 absence. Item 6, we have no reports. Item 7, we have no fire items tonight. Brings us to item number 8, utility items. First one is cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is the continuing discussion of the emergency that we declared following the Loma or the San Simeon earthquake. Would be surprised if there's any questions from the board on this item. Any comment or questions from the public? Okay.
Make a motion we continue the emergency.
Second.
Okay, moved by Director Dahl, seconded by Vice President Bookout, that we continue the emergency declared following the San Simeon earthquake. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean? Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 8B, the Fats, Oils, and Grease Program.
Mr. President, I have to recuse myself on this item.
The California Regional Water Quality Control Board Waste Discharge Requirements Order, and part of that implementation is a requirement for a fats, oils, and grease inspection program. The Sanitation District has begun those inspections. They've actually inspected 5 restaurants in the city. 2 of them, the diner, I forget the name of the rail car. What is it? Railroad car, yeah. They inspected them, and they need to install a grease trap, so they're in the process of doing that. Old Wands, they inspected them, and for the most part, they passed, but they gave them some recommendations. They're going to go back and re-inspect them in 6 months. And then there were three other facilities, and I forgot the name of them, but all three of them are not actual restaurants. They don't have a kitchen, and they don't have a grease control problem. So they're going to recommend removal of those three facilities. The bottom line is there are 16 facilities that are due for inspection. The total cost of the program estimated by the sanitation district staff is $5,960. When we entered into the agreement, we didn't establish any fees for the restaurants. The recommendation made by the staff at the sanitation district was they recommended one of two options. One option was to charge a $100 application fee, initial application fee, and then a $100 fee per year for inspection for each facility. And that would be billed by OCSD staff. The second option was to add a $20 bi-monthly inspection fee charge, $20 bi-monthly inspection fee charge for each facility. That'd be $120 a year. There would be no initial charge for an application fee. Staff recommends that we adopt the $20 every bi-monthly sewer bill to be charged to each of these facilities to help pay the cost of the inspection. It won't cover the complete cost, but it'll cover part of it.
And there's that was based on the original cost they estimated was based on the complete number of facilities that they originally...
The number of facilities inspected. And I forgot to mention, in the staff report, staff recommends that we review these costs and the number of restaurants each year and revise the bi-monthly fee based on what the costs are going to be for the succeeding year.
Board comments?
Board comment?
As I requested last night that the Central Coast Senior Center be put on here, okay, because they do have a commercial kitchen. They do put grease down their trap. They do have to have it cleaned out, if not quarterly, semi-annually by a plumber. They need to be on there.
Okay.
The address is 1580 Railroad Avenue.
I can do that. I just have to call the Sand District.
Well, I hate to raise fees on anything, but there is some costs for us in this, and it does affect our sewer system. So, I'm in favor of them. Well, I'm in favor of doing this. So,
I agree. I think the program that was laid out, first of all, it's a mandate from the Regional Water Quality Control Board that we're obliged to comply with, and the commercial establishments, for the most part, that are that require inspection are being asked to bear the cost of it, of at least a major proportion of that. And the effect on the system, if the sewer clogs up with grease and so forth, affects everyone. So I tend to agree that while we don't like to raise fees, we pretty much have an obligation to do so here, I believe.
Patrick, do you know what the other communities like Pismo would charge for their... I know this is established already in the other cities.
We're Pismo, I don't think they're part of this agreement. Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande are part of the agreement that we entered with the Sand District. And I know that... I'm pretty sure it was Arroyo Grande that said they're not going to charge this year. They're going to absorb it in their operating costs. And Grover Beach, it was undetermined.
Is that undetermined?
At the last meeting I attended.
Yeah. Ready for a motion?
Is there public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. Yes, ready for a motion.
I move that we accept staff's...
Okay, item number 8C, consideration of temporary modification of the agreement regarding management of the Arroyo Grande groundwater basin, the water management agreement, consideration of a request by the city of Arroyo Grande to increase their allocation of water under the water management agreement. Patrick?
Beginning in 2002, the city entered into this groundwater management agreement that formalized what was previously known as the gentleman's agreement. In that agreement, each agency agrees to limit the amount of water that's pumped from the groundwater basin. The city of Arroyo Grande for several years now has been providing water to two mobile home parks that are outside the city limits of the city of Arroyo Grande. And they sent a letter, the city manager sent a letter to the district requesting that the groundwater management agreement be amended to allow them 9 additional acre feet of water per year, an allotment for an additional 9 acre feet per year, so that they could provide, continue to provide this water service to these two mobile home parks. It's staff's recommendation. Staff believes there are other alternatives rather than increasing the allowance, the allotment under the groundwater agreement. One option is in the groundwater management agreement, the cities of Arroyo Grande and Pismo Beach were given priority rights. I'm not sure that's the correct legal term, but they have first rights on any additional water that's available in the basin. Technically, if the in the letter from Steve Adams, the city manager in Arroyo Grande, he states that the mobile home parks both had wells before that they had to stop using because of high nitrate levels. So technically, they're no longer taking that water out of the ground. And so Arroyo Grande's position is they're using water that's no longer being used, it was previously being used. My understanding is that these two mobile home parks were not a party to the Santa Maria groundwater legislation. Is that correct?
I don't know that for a certainty. It's certainly possible, but I haven't gone back through the 1,200 defendants to find it.
Steve, the city manager of AG told me that an additional 9 acre feet. So that's one way that I would suggest that we propose to the city of Arroyo Grande that they try to get this additional 9 acre feet. The second option is they insist that this is a temporary arrangement. If it's indeed a temporary arrangement, we're already negotiating with them to sell them some water on a temporary basis. So if we do that, if we come to an agreement with the city of Arroyo Grande where we're going to sell them water on a temporary basis, they could use 9 acre feet out of that proposed 200 acre feet a year to satisfy the requirement of the mobile home park. So that's a second option that would not change the groundwater management agreement at all. So what I'm recommending to what staff's recommending to the board is that we go back to the city of Arroyo Grande and recommend those two alternatives without agreeing to add an additional 9 acre feet to their allotment under the agreement.
Why don't we just sell them the water? The mobile home parks are just across the street.
You know, two things. In the past, they actually came, one of them at least, the Grande Mobile Home Park came to us and we said it's our policy not to sell water outside the district. We could annex them. That would be probably a more appropriate way to be able to provide them water. The other thing is, eventually we're going to get to a point where we have a water master plan that says we need, in the end, almost 2,200 acre feet at build out to be able to provide water to all of our existing area. If we start giving that out piecemeal between now and 2032, I think is the build out term, there's the possibility that we will get to a point where we're unable to provide water to people within our existing boundaries.
But then on the other hand, we're talking about selling Arroyo Grande water.
It's temporary. The sales to Arroyo Grande is a 10-year temporary. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the difference. If we could provide it to them on a temporary basis, maybe the board could consider that. But as either annexing it or just selling it to them directly, I think may compromise our ability in the future to provide water to the people within our current boundaries.
That's not to say
you can't do it. If the board decides to do it, we can do it.
This seems to me kind of an odd request. I'm trying to come up with an analogy. I guess they're saying because the mobile home parks theoretically could pump water that doesn't meet health requirements, that they somehow should have rights to more groundwater. I'm not even sure if we can grant such rights, but it seems to me a very strange request.
Well, a couple of things. It's an agreement. It's a contract, so we could amend the contract as long as all the parties to the contract agreed. I think the big difference between us selling a little water to the Christie Forum and Aurora Grandy selling water is that we have a lot of excess water available, and they're pretty much at the limits of what they have available. And I think they're, this whole thing, they're trying to buy water from us on a temporary basis. They're really pushing the desal plan study because they recognize that their development potential is very limited until they identify some other sources of water. So I think they're really pushing, trying every way that they can to get rights to water.
I tend to disfavor this request because, again, of our proposed sale negotiations, and just the propriety of this strikes me as somewhat unusual. Any other comments from the board? Public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. Do we have a recommended course of action? Or
I like the recommended course of action. It's a good start toward getting the problem solved, is to recommend that they do go that direction. And then if that doesn't pan out, they can always come back and ask. We don't have to deny it or accept it. We can just offer that as an alternative back to them.
Offer what, Vern? Make yourself clear.
What the staff recommendation of either going back and getting the rights to the water that that was previously pumped underneath these mobile home parks, or using the using part of the 200 acre feet that we're talking about.
R2.
They've been pumped underneath the mobile home parks, declared as additional water that is now available in the groundwater basin, and then they would have access to it, so they would get their 9 acre feet that direction. Or they could use water that is being that is going to be part of the temporary supply that we're going to give them.
Yeah, if we give them, and it really doesn't say the water we're going to give them, it says they could purchase it from another agency.
Well, Roy Grandy, we're talking about a temporary sale of water to them. Since this is in a temporary agreement with them at the mobile home parks, they could be using that water for supplying those mobile home parks.
I think we ought to just tell them.
That is the recommendation, right?
Right.
I think we ought to just tell them no, and they can figure out what they want to do. You know, which way they want to go on this.
I tend to agree with Barbara in this case. I don't know that we have really authority or an interest in suggesting to Aurora Grandy means that they might pursue to achieve their desire there.
That's certainly appropriate, and if I have personal recommendations to Steve, I can suggest things to him. But then the board will be clear that they're just not ready to amend the agreement.
Now, this will give a little bit more reason to possibly get a desalination plant in the community, and by saying no, we're making headway towards that direction, which ultimately we are going to need in the future for the whole five cities.
So we have a motion and no second.
Second.
Are you seconding his motion?
No. Sorry. We still have a motion and no second.
I thought it was a motion. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. No motion.
I'm waiting for Barbara.
That was my mistake. I thought it was a motion.
Do we need to take a formal action, or is it just the sense of the board that we would respectfully decline the request?
I think that's, as long as, I think that's okay. It wasn't, well.
I think we ought to decline it.
Okay, we can entertain a motion.
I move that we decline the request of Aurora Grandy. Request.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Although I'm not, I don't agree with supporting this, and that I wouldn't want to give them, say that I'm giving them that permission, I don't think at this time it should be, we should turn it down either, so I'm going to vote against it. So no.
You're voting what?
No.
No.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay. Item passes 3-1. Brings us to item number 8D, consideration of utility billing adjustment.
Shirley Shepherd from 1785 Peacock submitted a utility billing adjustment request. For the period August of 2007, she complied with the district's policy and that she provided proof that the irrigation leak was repaired. And it's staff's recommendation that we approve the adjustment. Total adjustment of $174.05 for Lopez charges and $155.19 for water charges. What? I'm sorry. Okay. That's right.
How many times have we adjusted this residence?
The last one was in October.
Total times. How many times have we adjusted our bill?
Two
times?
Including this one?
No.
So this would be the third time.
I'm a little concerned also with the nature of this request. In the past, where there's been hidden leaks, such as under someone's patio or line breaks to the house, that kind of thing, a sprinkler system, it seems to me, would be much more noticeable if there was a break in the sprinkler system. I'm not sure I can really, without some more justification on this, I'm not sure that I really see how this is consistent with the credits that we've given before.
Was the
She's told me over the phone a couple of times that she's handicapped in some way and she can't get out of her house.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Yeah.
So what was the nature of this problem? The valve was broken and the water was running on the through the sprinkler system?
As I understand it, she runs her sprinkler system at night. Mm-hmm. And so until she got the large bill, she didn't realize there was a leak. Apparently, there is a memorandum from Max. Was that in this package? Well, I can't. There was a statement from one of our utility workers, Max Torres, that he told her that he felt like she had a sprinkler leak, and that she responded that, yeah, she had heard it in the evening, one evening, so she knew that there was a leak, and then later she had it repaired.
So it was a leak that was large enough to be heard as the sprinklers were running? Is that what we're talking about? I'm sorry.
That's my understanding. It's hard, you know, I haven't been out there, so I can't say for sure. Do you know any more about it, Phil?
I can explain just a little bit. The sprinklers are automatic, and what happens is the sprinkler gets broke, and so instead of the sprinkler system using 7 gallon a minute while it's on, it's got a big hole in it and shooting straight up in the air, and they're using five times that much.
Okay, so but it was a sprinkler head then?
Yeah, just a broken head. You know, like I said, instead of the sprinkler system just sprinkling, it was shooting straight up there. It uses about three times as much water, five times as much.
Okay, that makes
sense.
And
then when we suggested that, well, the next morning she heard it and knew what it was.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, and I would think that this would fall within our intent of this rule. Because it's a one-time thing, it happened, she fixed it as quick as she could. It's not like it was leaking for, you know, several months, a little bit, where it could be seen.
How service broke, for example, that they, her recovery should be from them. Is there any public comment on this item? Sean.
I am Sean Maldonado. I live in Oceano. It seems to me like a break on private property would be her problem. I don't understand why the city has to make up lost water that's not the city's problem. I have a water leak, too, and it's been leaking for 3 months, and I just fixed it this weekend. Sprinkler system, same thing.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. Other board comment?
I have a hard time going forward and adjusting this bill at this time. I think we've adjusted it twice before. At this point, I would make a motion not to adjust it.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to deny the requested adjustment. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
No.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 9, we have no administrative items tonight. Item 10, reports of district representatives. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on September 19th. There were, that was a long meeting because the meeting prior to that was canceled. Some of the things that they did was discuss the Bakeman Lane trunk line analysis, which is the main feed to the sanitation plant from Arroyo Grande. They found some damage to that line. They have taken out a bunch of pieces of concrete, asphalt, annual ocean monitoring. We authorized a contract for $32,900 to do aquatic bioassay consulting. Ocean sampling is a requirement of the discharge permit. We authorized purchase of a hammer drill, which was a capital budget item. The Arroyo Grande Watershed and Creek Memorandum of Understanding came before the board. There was no action taken. They may consider that again. And a district logo was discussed. They are looking to move forward with cogeneration at the plant to increase the amount of cogeneration that they do. They're looking into grease ingestion for the digester, creates more gas and generates more fuel for the cogen plant. So they're looking to save maybe $5,000 to $6,000 a month on their energy costs there. They say it would be perhaps an 8 to 9 year cost recovery. The other thing was a review of their safety program and policies, which they've been very proactive there. The staff at the Sanitation District plant is doing a good job. This plant is operating in conformance with all of the requirements. And again, they're helping with the fats, oils, and grease program, as we agreed. So that was all from the Sanitation District.
Okay. Attended the fire department meeting last night. Captain Bova presided at the meeting. We've up to 625 calls year to date. Captain Bova has been working with the, still contacting the county airport and getting some fire retardant possibly down at the airport in case we have an airplane crash down there that we can use that fire retardant to, or it's, I'm not, I think it's retardant. For aircraft to put out fires around aircrafts and contain fires down there. He noted that even if we're in the on the beach at the time of an aircraft accident, we are not the primary responding party to the airport. It's the CDF first, but we are, as Oceana, would most likely be there in the first position. If we were busy with other fires, the next people down here would be the CDF. They, in turn, would need the proper stuff to put out an aircraft. In Arroyo Grande, where the house was a total loss, unfortunately. The Arroyo Grande Fire Department was first on site, followed by Grover Beach, and then Oceana. We were right third, right in line, and we made very good time getting there. The house was a total loss. It was a very hard fire to get water to. There was some problems with getting the water pumped uphill, and in actuality there was little water available to put out the fire from the hydrants. They'll be getting into that. A few years ago we talked about emergency evacuation center and alternatives to a fire station. One of the items we had was alternatives to fire station emergency evacuation center. And the fact that this building here is not really going to be the proper place for emergency evacuation if some catastrophe should happen, such as Lopez Lake, for some reason, in an earthquake, cracking and water coming down this way. The highest areas in Oceano are actually the community center and the elementary school. So we're looking at those alternatives. That's it.
Okay, Vern?
Yes, I attended the Airport Land Use Commission, and this is the first meeting after the two summer meeting recesses. With that, there still was not a whole lot of items on the agenda. They discussed again a little bit that hotel that's going to be going up at the that was approved to go up at the airport, close to the airport, and we talked about it in here once before about it being approved under a rule that is an exception rule. And
you're talking about the San Luis Airport.
The San Luis Airport, I'm sorry, yes, the airport in San Luis Obispo. And that was done because it was part of the reason that they did that, I believe, is also the fact that it was going to be done whether they approved it or not. It takes a four-fifths vote of the supervisors to overrule a vote of the Airport Land Use Commission. Another thing that came up there was percentages to increase, and their open space, where they had to have 31% open space, it brought that down to only requiring them to have 23% open space. And this was brought to the attention of the commission by one of the commissioners, and so they've set a meeting to talk about, or set an agenda item to talk about this at the next meeting. There was also a area north of the airport out in the Laurel Lane area that was a large industrial area. And down the center of that industrial area, they were allowed to change the usage from industrial to a housing unit usage. And that happened quite a while back, and then they built houses in there, and now the city is coming back to them saying that the section of industrial zone that is off to the side that was split by this change of plans is now not consistent with the general use of the area around it, so now they want to change that to housing as well, so which keeps putting more housing within the airport area.
Are those houses within the flight plan?
It's within the land that is controlled by the airport land use commission.
So kind of like Pier Avenue?
Kind of like Pier Avenue, except this is farther away from the airport than Pier Avenue is. So it's a similar situation. The commission denied that zoning change at this time, with leaving it open for the city to come back to them on it. One of the things that is required is that there's an exchange. If they're going to increase the housing in one area, causing more of a safety risk, there's got to be other areas that they come back and say there's nothing can go in this area, or this is going to reduce it to make it an even exchange, so the overall safety risk does not increase in the airport zone.
Okay, now wait, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. The planning, who's going to say that the area plan can change? The planning commission or the airport land use commission?
The planning commission has to approve a change in zoning.
Okay.
But it also has to be approved by the Airport Land Use Commission. And if the Airport Land Use Commission does not approve it, then the ultimate say is the Board of Supervisors. Okay. And for the Board of Supervisors to overrule a decision that the Airport Land Use Commission has made, it takes a 4/5 vote.
Thanks.
So one of the things the city has come back to the Airport Land Use Commission on is saying that there's a park out there that they're wanting to, or one of the ideas as of this at this time, and one of the things that never made sense to me on this whole change from industrial to residential is that they're looking for different zonings, mixed zoning throughout the communities, so that there is closer places to go to work and closer places to go shopping. So they want industrial, commercial, residential more closely mixed than having these big blocks of one part of, you know, one zoning in one part of the city and big blocks of a different zoning somewhere else, so that people are having to drive farther to, or drive at all to get to work and shopping. So that was basically what happened with that one. It was an interesting exercise. There was nothing that happened at the Airport Land Use Commission that affected us directly here in Oceano. I also attended the Oceano Advisory Council. We're still working on the bylaws, and Cacho had came to the meeting and had, you know, given his state of the county address, and I was talking about state budget being passed, and said that the school police and the budget and the funding for that was okay. That came through, but the mental health budget had been reduced or is short on the state budget, so they're going to have to be working on ways to cut costs there. We also had a presentation, talked a little bit about the framework for planning, which is something that they're looking at getting passed here fairly soon with the supervisors, and basically it's a plan, and they're looking to preserve open space, and there's a whole bunch of principles that that it's addressing, and if you want, I'll go over those. Just ask me at the end here. And we set, or this is going to be heard at the Planning Commission on October 11th, and our next regular OAC meeting is October 15th, and the county wanted our input on it, so we've actually, October 8th, our notes here from staff says it's October 8th, and my notes show October 2nd.
I checked the minutes before I put that on the schedule, and that was the final
determination.
Okay.
Next door.
All right.
It's next door, Vern.
Yeah, next door at the sheriff's station in their boardroom right by the front lobby. If anyone's interested in any additional information on this framework for planning, you can find some more information by going to a few different websites here. There's sloplanning.org, look under general plan, or smartgrowth.org, or lgc.org. That's it for me. Any questions?
Find it amusing, the smart growth. Are we going to put all of the concrete batch plants and the oil storage tanks and the rendering plants and the grade schools and the residences all together?
Well, you know, it's funny. It seems like it's almost a change in overall philosophy for planned growth throughout the country, because it's always been traditional to try to get the industry away from the population, and now all of a sudden they're trying to move toward more mixed use. And one of the reasoning that they say is behind this is that people don't drive very far, and if you can get the driving down and make it within walking distance for shopping and for work, that it'll reduce the use of oil and for driving and, you know, environmentally friendly type growth. So that's one of their reasonings behind it.
Barbara, did you know?
At the fire committee last night, when they talked about the fire in Aurora Grande and the problems they had with the size of the pipes where the water went, and it was at the end of a water line, and that the pressure was so low that they had a difficult time fighting the fire. And I didn't think for us to ask...
Phil, do you have any ideas about that?
Well, there's a lot involved. It's probably more volume question than it is pressure. So it's the size of the line. We do have a few dead ends. We're very conscious of them, and we flush the ends of them. And actually, I think we're pretty well covered so far as volume needed to fight a fire.
Okay. That's, if you say we're in good shape, I know we are then.
Okay.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, you know, just to clarify, the problem, they had a water tank on one hill and a small line that went down and then had to come back up the hill, not much lower than the elevation of the tank on the other side of the hill.
We don't have hills, fortunately.
Right, we don't have hills.
I guess we have a couple.
Small hills.
It's a small hill. Community center, the school, those are hills.
Right. Yeah. That was the main problem.
That, and they did mention that we sold the SCBA units. We were able to sell those and got a good price, I understand from our general manager that would go back into the fire reserves. So that was good. And I think probably that's all that we would want to talk about that went on last night.
Okay, is there any public comment or questions on the board reports?
I had one question.
The
sanitation plant, that Bakeman line, is that the one that is real deep that they've been, it has the dip in it?
Yes, it. I guess because of the terrain there, at one point it's like 30 feet deep from what I understand. Yeah. It's quite difficult.
And I think there's some patios and things built over that line.
Correct.
On Bakeman,
Right, there's...
that's good.
Easement encroachments that allow people to, of course, that there were, if they ever had to actually dig out that line, it would require them to perhaps dismantle some construction. But they believe that if it comes to relining, that can be done in place through the existing manholes and wouldn't require being excavated. Okay. General Manager items for discussion. Patrick?
President Hill, members of the board, several items came in. One, on September the 12th, the Integrated Waste Management Authority adopted a fee of 30 cents per month per household and 2% of the monthly bill on any commercial agencies. I've talked to Tom Martin, the general manager at the Sanitation District.
That's the agency that said we had to reduce what we took to the landfill, correct?
That was before I got here, but yeah. Okay.
Right, Gina? Yeah. And did we not meet the goals that were set for us?
Oh, yeah. This
by
is,
the state or right. by them? So then why should we being assessed any more money, even though it's only 30 cents? Because I believe that Oceana was one of the few places that met what we were supposed to do.
Yeah,
this what, 4 or 5 years ago.
Now this isn't a fine for not doing what we were supposed to do. They're having trouble meeting their administrative cost of being an agency, and so they're assessing these charges so they can meet the administrative cost of operating their agency.
Hmm.
Can we assess
him
a charge?
I think we ought to have him come and talk to us too. Then.
Pardon?
He ought to come and dance a little bit for us. Talk to us about this. Not Tom Martin.
Not Tom, but the...
What's his... Wardell? Is that his name?
Worrell. William Worrell.
Yeah, I think he should come and talk to us.
I'll send a letter.
I'd like to hear an explanation from him also.
I'd like to assess the charge while they're here, so... I'm sure we could come up with one or two.
We can put a parking meter out here and
have
him parking
that, would work.
That takes $100 bills.
Because we were very, very conscientious about meeting the goals and the timetable that were set for us on that.
Is this a state agency? County agency? What is
it? I think it's county.
State.
I have a copy of the resolution they passed and a copy of the letter that distributed it, so I'll give each of you a copy. I did, right?
The resolution that who passed?
Yeah. IWMA. Integrated Waste Management. I thought I had distributed that in
so
the last...
So they can pass a resolution for us. How interesting. Oh, but we... People sit on their board, though, right?
That's correct.
Let's see. How did you get on that board? Do you remember that? How did people get put on that board? At one time, did we have a representative on that board?
There's a gentleman on here named Dave Brooks from Authorized Districts. I don't know. There's a representative from the cities of SLO, AG, Atascadero, Grover Beach.
Is it?
Just for the board's information, the house at 1772 Strand Way, the owners of that house constructed a wooden fence that comes around into the front yard. We've got letters from three neighbors complaining about an encroachment into the right-of-way, which is the street that runs next to the house. We were requested to check it for fire safety hazard. Captain Bova went out and looked at it, and it does not impact our ability to fight fires. So it's not a fire issue. It's simply an encroachment or a planning issue.
Other than the other one that we discussed?
What other one?
We discussed one last night.
Oh, yeah, that's a different thing.
Different one.
Yes. Right.
Okay, so this is the one that's not a fire issue, but it's probably the county's problem, not our problem.
Right. That's right.
Because it's on the street.
Yeah.
They're stepping over into the street.
Right.
Harriet's old house.
I think it's Utah. I think the street that goes by is Utah. Yeah. Yeah, and it is. These homeowners are also working with the county to complain. I just wanted you to know, in case they call you, we've looked at it. It's not a fire issue, so it's really not an OCSD issue.
Yeah, we don't control streets. It's a good answer.
Right. Well, if the fence were up against the fire hydrant, then it would be our issue, but it's not.
I said, streets.
Right. 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 Oh, yeah. Okay. We distributed a request for audit proposals 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, with a deadline of last Friday to submit proposals. We got two proposals, and I'll be preparing a staff report and bringing those to the board at the next board meeting. I was pleased that we got proposals. I've been in situations where I've asked for audit proposals and gotten none, so two's good. The issue of the street light on Melody Lane, I went to the PG&E office in San Luis Obispo on Monday of this week and talked to a lady named Carrie. She said, well, we've only had it a month. Why are you here? I explained to her it was important, and so she agreed that she would either on it, and they're working with us, and we'll get there. It just won't happen overnight.
They ought to be being nice to us because they're getting a lot of bad publicity tonight.
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with Diablo, right?
No, but it's PG&E.
Right. No, I understand.
We hope that their customer service is timely.
Well, she was nice, and she knew what I was talking about, so that was encouraging, actually.
Good.
We got a response from the state controller about a month ago. 5 weeks ago, we submitted a letter requesting that we be relieved of the $5,000 fine. And they came back and said, thank you for writing, but you didn't comply with our requirements. So we're going to have to pay the $5,000 fine. Not good news, but we tried. And the last thing I have is that this weekend, Saturday, is the creek cleanup day in the morning. And anybody that wants to volunteer, there are a lot of volunteer opportunities available in that area.
Okay. Comment or questions? Comment or questions from the public? Okay. Brings us to item number 12, board member items for discussion. I'll start again with Vern.
One last thing that was handed to me at the OAC meeting, and it was just a article that came out in the Tribune on the desal for Cambria, and basically the probably everybody knows about this already, but the desal was the test wells were not approved by the Coastal Commission for Cambria to start the process of trying to bring in desal.
Will we have the same problem?
There are some test wells, as I understand it, that are pre-existing, so that may alleviate the concern here.
Well, for the desal, I'm not sure, because those are the ones that have to go into the beach. I don't think there's any test wells under the beach, are there? Maybe I'm speaking out of turn.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. One of the questions that was in here was a possibility that maybe this was not, the wells were not approved, because the thought was, why approve the wells?
Okay. Barbara?
Nothing.
No. Nothing.
The only thing I have is I saw another article in the paper regarding the potential purchase by the county of the Boys and Girls Club property, with negotiations that's going on, and Supervisor Ashajian was championing the county to purchase that property to build a park on the east side of Oceana, which has been one of our goals and desires for a long time. And I want to thank Supervisor Ashajian for his leadership on that. It may be that we can't even find 10 acres, which is the amount that the county likes to have as a minimum for parks in Oceano or any other community. And it may be impossible to get the 10 acres, but I applaud Supervisor Ashajian's efforts to get a park here, even if it wouldn't meet the 10-acre requirement. And I think his efforts on behalf of the community are very much appreciated.
Did they also talk about that spot grass being used for the library?
That was another possibility, yes.
Because I would think that the existing building is probably a little bit bigger than the modular they have right now for the library. Mm-hmm. Seems like it would be a good fit there. Yeah.
With that, they could keep the basketball courts where they are and still have the library on site, possibly.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we want to take the warrants out of order? That would allow public comment on that before our executive session. Is there any comment or questions about the warrants? Okay, any public comment on the warrants? Hearing none, I'll look for a motion.
Move that we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to pay the warrants.
Anything for Alex in here?
No.
Yeah, I didn't see a Kirk and Seamus on this particular one. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0. Tonight we have three executive session items. Alex, would you like to introduce those, please?
Let's take a last.
Certainly, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Excuse me. As you stated, there's three executive session items. The first one is a conference with legal counsel E to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning significant exposure to potential litigation. That involves one case. And the third thing is a conference with real property negotiator, water rights agreement. That is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. to meet with the agency's negotiator concerning property negotiations and to grant authority regarding terms. The property involved is an interest in the district's water entitlements. The person or persons with whom the agency negotiator may negotiate is the authorized agent for the City of Arroyo Grande.
Thank you.
Jim, I'm going to need to recuse myself on A. On B, doesn't pertain to anything with me. But it pertains to property within 500 feet of my business, so I will have to recuse myself on B, but I'm good for C.
Okay.
Let's do C
when
first,
we start,
then.
Can we take the items in perhaps in reverse
order? You can take them in whichever order is efficient.
I think that would probably be the most efficient. Before we go to the executive session, is there any public comment on this or any other item? Okay, hearing none. We'll then adjourn to executive session. Okay, we're returning from executive session. Alex, would you please give us a report?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. Reporting out of the executive sessions, with regard to item 13A, the conference with legal counsel regarding Bookout versus State of California, the board received a report, no action was taken. With regard to item 13B, a conference with legal counsel regarding potential litigation, the board received a report, no action was taken. With regard to item 13C, a conference with the district's real property negotiator regarding a water rights agreement, no action was taken, but the board did give direction to its staff with regard to the matter.
Thank you very much.